Welcome to Fundamentally Church. If you're visiting with us, we are in this series of messages, and this is the final message on the Holy Spirit, Son, Father, the Trinity. And as we have said, it's a tough idea to get a hold of. It's not spoken of directly in the Scriptures, but it's there. And so we've seen this idea that God is one in three and three in one. And that God, though one being, is three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we've said we've used these metaphors that don't always serve us too well to really grasp it. They're not perfect metaphors, but the idea that of the Trinity being like H2O. You see water, steam, and ice. Or what do we hear? The egg. Right? The shell, the yolk, the white. Pastor Chris had the candy corn one. That was really sort of interesting, wasn't it? The idea of three colors, same candy. The one that I've found helpful as a metaphor, it's still a metaphor, is this idea of a Trinity pyramid. God is three in one, and it just depends on which one of those persons you're focusing on, the Father as God, Creator, Son, as the Savior who died on the cross for us, who's interceding for us right now, or the Holy Spirit. But they are all God, three in one. And I've actually, Lydia helped put together some of these little craft projects, and they're out on the table by the Dig Deeper sheets. There's a couple that are already made, but as parents, maybe you can take these as a craft project to put together. And then place it somewhere on the table or by their bed and keep this conversation going about what it means to know God as three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, today we want to focus on the third person of that Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And now, like all of these, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we could spend a whole month or more talking about who is the Holy Spirit and what is the purpose of it. So we're just going to focus on a couple passages, one what Jesus says about it, and then one passage what the Apostle Paul says about it, just to get us thinking about the overall picture of what the Holy Spirit is intended to do in our lives. But I'd like to start with a couple common misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. One common misconception is that the Holy Spirit is a force and not a person. You Star Wars fans out there, you know the expression, may the force be with you. And that force was sort of a mystical kind of energy field that just sort of flowed around people as they were doing their thing in the Star Wars movies. The Holy Spirit is not a force. Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as having a will, as speaking, as leading, as inspiring, as comforting, helping, and advocating. We'll talk more about those things in a moment. Those are all personal actions and not the work of an impersonal force. So anyway, maybe you've had that in your mind, that the Holy Spirit is sort of like this, can't see it, it's got to be just a force that moves around. No, it's a person of the Trinity. I worked with a pastor early on in my ministry who made this point very clear. And he did it this way. Whenever he would talk about the Holy Spirit, he would leave off the definite article, the. He wouldn't say the Holy Spirit. He would say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Just stuck with me. As a way to remind ourselves, it's not the Holy Spirit. It is Holy Spirit. We don't say the Jesus. We do say the Father. But Holy Spirit is a person. That's the most important thing I want you to understand. A second misperception of the Holy Spirit is that somehow the Holy Spirit, we got it in our mind, it's only for certain Christians. I mean, some hold on to the misunderstanding that, I don't know, the Holy Spirit is somehow reserved for super Christians. You know, that's the way the Holy Spirit functions in the lives of people that are really sort of, whoa, look at that. When I was a young adult and really sort of starting to grow in my faith, there was something that was moving through the community that I was part of. It was actually across the country. It was called the Charismatic Movement. Some of you here today may have been influenced by that. In the Charismatic Movement, what they stressed of the Holy Spirit more than anything was the gift of tongues, the gift of miracles, and those kind of things that were happening. And I remember being in some worship services and some gatherings of Christians where people were experiencing the Holy Spirit this way, but it wasn't my experience. And so in some ways, I respected and saw Jesus at work in their lives, and yet it wasn't my experience. Some talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit as being represented by those supernatural gifts. Now, I'm not meaning to criticize anyone here who has had that experience. It wasn't my experience, though. And it wasn't until I talked to a more mature Christian, a friend of mine who I really respected and saw Jesus working in his life. And he said, you know what, Jerry? This is what I've come to understand about the Holy Spirit as a person, as one who gives gifts, as one who comes to live in our hearts. He said, I want to surrender my life to God. And whatever he wants to give me of his Spirit, I will receive. And that helped me to understand, first of all, I want to surrender my life to follow Jesus. And I want to surrender my life to God who loves me. And I want to surrender my life to the Holy Spirit to do whatever he would want to do in and through my life. And a third misconception, I think, is this idea. Well, let me back up, first of all. First of all, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit indwells all believers in Jesus Christ. And it is God who gives gifts to the body as he chooses for the building up of the body. We can see that in 1 Corinthians, as Jeff was reading this morning from 1 Corinthians. But Peter at Pentecost, I want you to think about this, preached this message. Acts 2, verse 38, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what does it call for to be a person who receives into our lives the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, first is to repent. That means to recognize that I am a sinner, that I'm going away from God, and to turn back, to turn around, and then to be baptized in the name of Jesus. For what? For the forgiveness of your sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says, so those who received that message from Peter were baptized, and there were added some 3,000 souls on that day. Last week, we had a wonderful time down by the creek. A baptism of 6 persons. If you weren't here, that was a beautiful experience. And many of those folks are here today. And I want to just say that you, as followers of Jesus, have the Holy Spirit living in you. Why? Because you're a super Christian? No. Because you've repented and you've turned your life to Jesus. And as God promises, the Holy Spirit now dwells in you to work in you, to give gifts to you, to produce this fruit of the Spirit in you. This perception sometimes that it's only for certain Christians is not true. Holy Spirit dwells in each of us for the purpose of building up the body and of sharing the good news of Jesus with others. Now, there's a third misconception, I think. Sometimes we think the Holy Spirit is an emotion or a feeling, and I think there's a misunderstanding that somehow the Holy Spirit's presence is only tied to emotional experiences. I tend to be that kind of person. That's why I said this. I tend to be a person who feels things. And I can say sometimes in a worship service to a worship leader and to the worship, wow, I really sense the Holy Spirit's presence. And that's true. We can sense the Holy Spirit. But it's not only when the Holy Spirit is present. It's not only when the Holy Spirit is at work, when we can emotionally feel it. So if you're a feeler and a sensor person like me, I just want to remind you the Holy Spirit works in other ways other than through our emotions and feeling. As we said, we're promised that the Holy Spirit is here with us, where two or three gather in His name. And the Holy Spirit is here to guide us into truth, and we'll talk about what that Holy Spirit's purpose and role is now. So let's go there. Let's take the Bible and turn to the words of Jesus. And we'll begin with John chapter 14. And if you don't have a Bible, go ahead and grab the blue one in front of you there and turn with me to John chapter 14. Again, we're going to just look at some words of Jesus, and we're going to camp on these couple verses here for a little bit because I think they're rich in helping us to understand who is the Holy Spirit, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, what's the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And now, John 14, 15, 16, and 17 are often called the farewell discourse, technical name for Jesus' final words as he's sharing it with his disciples. Chapter 13 was where he was in the upper room. He's washed their feet, if you remember that story. He's washed their feet. And now in 14, 15, 16, and 17, it's called the farewell discourse. The last most important words, if you were leaving this earth and you were going to tell your loved ones most important things you want them to know, you'd have a list of things you want to be sure to say. This is Jesus right now as he's preparing to go to Jerusalem, as he's preparing to die on the cross for us. Here's what he says in John 14. Verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 16, Jesus said here that he would ask the Father and he would send another helper, that's the English Standard Version translation, another helper to be with you forever. I want you to take note of something in that phrase, another helper. First of all, that word another, he could have chosen two different words in the original Greek for that word another. It could have been another of a different kind or another of the same kind. And Jesus chose the latter. He's saying, I'm going to ask the Father and he will send another of the same kind like me. Not different, the same. And then he would send another helper. Helper. He says, you know him for he dwells with you and he will be in you. And the question I ask as I read this passage and spent time with it was, what does it mean? How is the Holy Spirit our helper? And I want to just suggest a couple things that you can maybe take note of. This word that he uses, it's the word paraclete. And it's a Greek word that means someone who's called alongside. A paraclete. And it's such a rich word that different translations, maybe you have a different translation in the ESV, translate it differently. And I'd like just for us to see what this helper means to us. Well, first of all, it's a helper to help to form us to be more like Jesus. If you read down to verse 26, Jesus says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. One translation says it this way. He will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you. Why? So that we become more like Jesus. The Apostle Paul was writing with this thought in mind when he was writing to the church in Corinth, and this is what he said. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, "For the Lord is the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord, the one just like him, is there, there is freedom." Freedom. To all of us who have had that veil removed, he says, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his image. The Holy Spirit is our helper, first of all, that paraclete, one who is living in us to shape and form us to be more and more like Jesus. To live more and more like Jesus. The fruit of that Spirit, we know, as Paul says in Galatians, is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, and it's self-control. The paraclete, the helper, comes alongside of us to help us become more like Jesus. Had a friend, a pastor, who said, you know, that's the problem with the Holy Spirit. The problem with us, he says, we leak. We leak. We need the Holy Spirit to keep filling us so that we can become more and more like Jesus. Secondly, it helps to comfort us in our troubles. Some translations, if you're reading the King James today, it would say, I will send another comforter, comforter. Again, the richness of this word paraclete, as a helper, as a comforter. It helps to comfort us in our troubles. Romans 8:26, the Spirit, it says, Paul says, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. If you're facing any kind of trouble today, you may be wondering, what in the world is happening in my life? What is God doing? Where is God? And God sent a helper. That helper is there to comfort us, to help us. I love what Eugene Peterson, in his translation of the Message, he translates this word paraclete as friend. As friend. He writes, he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. The friend is the Spirit of truth. That Holy Spirit is a helper who is able to comfort us in our troubles like a good friend who stands alongside of us in our difficulties. I think the Holy Spirit also thirdly helps to advocate when we fail. The word paraclete is sometimes, if you have the New International Version today, you see the word advocate. Translating the same word paraclete, which is so rich. A helper. A comforter. An advocate. The Holy Spirit is an advocate. What is that? What is an advocate? That's a person who pleads on someone else's behalf. An advocate pleads on behalf of someone else's behalf, like an attorney standing with you, defending you in court. And the one that Jesus promised that the Father would send would come alongside of us. He's saying here in John 14, he will advocate for us. Advocate for us before the Father when we fail, when we sin. Advocate for us when we're being tempted and tested by the enemy. That Spirit advocates for us, dwelling in us. Advocate for us. And the Holy Spirit's presence with us reminds us that when we sin or when we are tempted, we can confess our sins because we have an advocate who stands with us and who's faithful and just, as the word says, to forgive us and to cleanse us. In John 16, which the Dig Deeper sheet takes you a little deeper into John 16, because he talks about the Holy Spirit there again. But he says when the Holy Spirit comes, what does he say? He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Holy Spirit's role in our lives is to convict us. Convict us when we fail. Advocate for us along the way. To remind us that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again to overcome not only the penalty for our sins, but the power of sin in our lives. That's the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside. I like what Paul says. It's as if we are marked by the Holy Spirit as children of God through faith in Jesus. In Ephesians 1:13, Paul says, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed in Christ, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Marked. In other words, you believed in Jesus. If you're a believer in Jesus today, in Christ, God put a special mark of ownership. And that's the seal of the Holy Spirit living in you. And the Holy Spirit helps to advocate when we fail. And it reminds us we are sealed. We are marked. We are marked by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That word paraclete is such a rich term. It means to help, to transform, to comfort, to intercede for, to advocate alongside of us. What an important role the Holy Spirit takes in our lives, as Jesus reminds us. But there's one more I want to see in that word paraclete. It helps to guide us daily as a counselor. The Christian Standard Version of the Bible takes that word paraclete and translates it as counselor. Helper, advocate, comforter, counselor. Holy Spirit provides wisdom, direction, understanding as we seek daily to follow God's will. And I believe that guidance covers all aspects of our life. I remember, as some of you know, I worked at Univest Bank, Union National back then for 5 years, and then just felt this desire to study God's word. And it caused me to resign my position at Univest after 5 years and go to Lancaster Bible College for a one-year concentrated Bible course. My brother-in-law, John, Lydia's brother John, was there. He told me about the school. He told me about their one-year certificate. And so I began this journey of just diving into God's Word. And it was such a wonderful experience because I began reading the Old Testament like I never read it before. I began understanding the connection between the old and the new. I began to understand theology. It was like drinking from a fire hose for 1 year. It's like they were pouring this all into you in 1 year. And I had no clue what I was going to do next. And at one point along the way, I had connected with a ministry called the Internationals. Alan Kratz and I were part of this at one point together. The Internationals were an even evangelistic ministry that did music, and they traveled doing that. And I just thought, wow, that would be a wonderful experience. At one point, I reached out and talked to the director, and nothing came of it. So it's the spring of my year of being at Lancaster Bible College, and I remember being in my dorm room. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does when we open the Bible and we say, Lord, speak to me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, the truth. And I remember that night saying, Lord, what am I going to do? Here I am. It's like April. Graduation is in like a month. What's going to be next? And I remember opening the Bible. And I opened it to Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. And this is what it says. Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. And I'll remember it like it was yesterday. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to surrender to you. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to take this truth to heart. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to act. And I remember very vividly that probably 5-10 minutes later, the phone rang in the dorm. Before the day of cell phones, nobody has them. A phone, you know what that is? It hangs on the wall. The phone rang in that dorm, and somebody came to my door and said, hey, somebody's on the phone for you. And it was the director of the internationals inviting me to do and to join them in that ministry for the next year, turned into 2 years. Now, I say that because it hasn't quite happened like that every time since. But in that moment, what I am remembering, a couple words, surrender to God and listening to his word. Surrendering to God and listening to his word, the Holy Spirit guides us, makes the presence of God real, and gives us direction for how we should live our daily lives. Now, more recently, what I find most helpful to me, Lydia and I live in a, you know, the kids have all left. There's nobody living with except us, so we have our time of being with the Lord. And if you're a parent with young kids, I know that's a tough thing to say. How do I spend time listening to God? But for me, it's a daily discipline of sitting with God's word, of surrendering to God and saying, God, what do you want me to do today about this, about this, about this? And sometimes it's pretty clear. Other times it's not so clear. But the Holy Spirit is there to counsel us as a counselor through his word. Sometimes that counsel does come through other believers. Sometimes it comes through that impression in your spirit. And sometimes it comes as we wait. We wait on the Lord. Holy Spirit, as a helper, is there to transform us. Friends, it's not an impersonal power. It's not an impersonal force. But it's a caring, personal God who wants a relationship with you and me through his Holy Spirit that indwells us. So let's go over to the Apostle Paul as we turn the corner here. Galatians chapter 5. Flip over to the Apostle Paul's words. As he writes here to the church in Galatia, he says we are to walk by the Spirit. Which I love that phrase. That is a daily surrender to the Holy Spirit to guide us and counsel us as we live. To walk by the Spirit. Here's what he says. Beginning of verse 16 of chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You see, there's this war going inside of us between the flesh and the Spirit. And he goes on to explain that. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, here it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And then he concludes these words by saying, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If our lives are centered on Christ and the Spirit is dwelling in us, which we know is true, he says, let us then be guided by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is given to all believers in Jesus to help, to transform, to comfort, to intercede, to advocate, and to guide us daily as we follow Jesus. But most importantly, and here's how I want to close this today, as we hear from Jesus, the Holy Spirit is given to every believer to empower us to live our lives, to show and speak the gospel as witnesses for Jesus. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is given to every believer to empower us to live our lives, to show and speak the gospel as witnesses for Jesus. After Jesus rose from the grave and was preparing to ascend to the Father, he spent 40 days after he rose, 40 days with his followers, many of them, teaching them more about the kingdom. And then he said that to his followers, he instructed them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. He was still with them. So he's saying, listen, this Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And that was his promise and the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming to dwell in with and alongside his followers. So here's what he says. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus tells him, wait for this empowering that would enable them to go into the world, to turn the world upside down with the good news of Jesus and of the kingdom of God. And friends, the Holy Spirit is given to each believer so we can be a witness to the people with whom we are led, where we live, as we say, where we work, and where we play. Primary purpose of that Holy Spirit, in addition to all the things we've talked about as our helper, is meant to empower us. In other words, to give us the ability to go and to speak of Jesus to the people where we live, work, and play. And so as we finish here today, I want to just ask a couple questions that I ask of myself. Do I have a posture of surrender as a follower of Jesus? In other words, like my friend said to me way back when, he says, I want everything God wants to give me of his Holy Spirit. I want everything that God wants to give me of his Holy Spirit. Do I have a posture of surrender to God? Maybe you're contemplating a decision. Maybe you're struggling with an issue in your own life. Maybe you're worried about a member of your family or someone going through some kind of crisis. Do I have a posture of surrender? And am I open to the work of the Holy Spirit to fill me for the situations I will find myself in this coming week? Am I open? Maybe if you don't already do this, maybe starting next week, you want to just before you get out of the house, you want to just take a few minutes, open God's Word, and say, God, Holy Spirit, use me today. Fill me for the situations I will find myself in. This week, there was just a situation on my mind for days. And I found that every morning I was there saying, God, I surrender to you. Holy Spirit, take over. Holy Spirit, let me know what I am to be and to do in this situation. And then the third question, where is the Holy Spirit nudging you? I say nudging. That's a good word, isn't it? Spirit nudges us. In other words, it's a thought that's in my mind and heart. It's like the Holy Spirit. Some of you are smiling. You know what that means, to be nudged by the Holy Spirit. And it keeps moving us in a direction because he wants to empower us to be witnesses in the places where we live, work, and play. As I mentioned, Ephesians 5:18 says we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I love that is because this word is not, it's not a once and done deal. The call to be filled, first of all, that word, be filled with the Holy Spirit, is an imperative verb in the Greek, which means it's not an option. Be filled if you feel like it. No, it's be filled with the Spirit. That's not an option. It's also a passive verb, which simply means that it's something God has to do. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's something God will do. And it's a present tense, obviously, meaning it's an ongoing process. That's why the word continually out of the Amplified Bible says, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit, who is given to us to dwell in us, to be our helper, to be our advocate, to be our comforter, to be our counselor, and to be the one who empowers us to go where the Spirit is leading us. So may God fill us afresh as his people with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may know a fresh sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit as that helper in our lives and as the one who will empower us as witnesses for ministry. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to know the power of your Spirit. We want to surrender to that Spirit today in a way that will prevent us from ever being comfortable and being unsurrendered as a follower of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will fill us afresh with the power of the Spirit. And Lord, our prayer is that you would give everything that you want to give us of your Holy Spirit today, for what we're facing, for where we're called, for what you're nudging us to. Fill us afresh with the power of your Spirit, and that we could understand just a fresher role as a helper in our lives, and as the one who will empower us to go and share the gospel. We pray this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.